This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm David Marsden from The Evening Standard. Follow the leader or hit subscribe and you'll get our news, analysis and commentary every day at 4 p.m. Give us a rating wherever you get your podcast to. Now, from The Evening Standard in London, this is The Leader. 72 hours after the first lockdown fell on London, The Evening Standard and Independent launched a campaign to keep the city fed. It was called Food for London Now, and we asked for your help. You gave it.
Wow, what can I say? £10 million raised, 20 million meals delivered. We couldn't have done it without you. Thank you, London.
Our proprietor, Evgeny Lebedev, there, thanking everyone for raising £10 million in just 9 months. So far, that's meant 20 million meals being sent to families in crisis during this pandemic. When their cupboards were bare, you were there. Thank you again. It was, and remains, an enormous challenge to put this together, headed by our group executive editor, Oliver Poole, who's with me now. Oliver, this is an extraordinary amount of money raised during a uniquely difficult time. I think if there's one thing it proves beyond doubt, Londoners love this city and those who live in it.
Well, it is amazing, David, and I almost can't believe it. And it is a testament to Londoners, the incredible, incredible generosity and kindness they've shown, particularly at a time when so many people across the city are having challenging times in their own lives and their families' lives. When we very first did this, we actually set a target for 3 million. We thought 3 million would be what we needed to help those who were suffering from acute food poverty as a result of this pandemic. But two things happened. Firstly, it became clear the need was much, much, much greater than even our worst expectations. And that's why we launched the target of 10 million. And actually, when we did, I didn't know whether we'd ever hit it. But we knew that that was the amount of money needed. And then secondly, what was phenomenal was the response from the public. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, money just flooded in. And we, you know, it was really a humbling thing to behold, to be honest.
Now, throughout the campaign, we've heard from a lot of those people who have needed help, those people living in food poverty, those people who have been pushed into food poverty because of this pandemic. So we've raised this 10 million. How is it going to be helping people like them?
There's two core ways that we're using it to help people. The first, and this was the most urgent when we launched, was actually just to get food to the people who needed it, to get meals to those who, because of the pandemic, could not go outside because they were shielding or vulnerable, or to those who had lost their jobs and were reliant, therefore, on assistance. And it terrifies me to think that if we hadn't done this, where those meals would have come from. But the second thing we did was we're very aware that we need to come out with a longer term solution to this as well. So as well as delivering those 20 million meals, we're going to create the largest ever social kitchen in central London. We have a site for that and we're going to refit it. And in there, we will have a team of cooks and they are just going to be churning out meals. which we will then distribute across the city. That will be a long-term commitment by us, because, you know, it's sad but true, but the economic and suffering caused by this virus, you know, that's not going to end tomorrow. And therefore, what we're going to do and how we're going to assist and what we're going to try to do to help, our solutions are long term as well.
I think that's one thing that is quite important for people to understand, is that these are meals that the Evening Standard has been sending out. It's not tins of food, it's actual hot cooked food being sent to families that need it.
That's 100% what it is. And like, we couldn't have done it without the network of community groups we've been working with, the restaurants who gave over their space. I mean, it really was amazing seeing how everyone just, it was kind of incredible. You just ring people and they would say, yes, we'll help. It was like, you know, Tottenham Hotspur, for example, for a long time, we were allowed to store stuff at, you know, used their stadium to assist in this. We contacted the art world, the leading artists across, you know, in this country. Huge household names like Anthony Gormley, Damien Hirst, Peter Blake. So Peter Blake, and they all, you know, they produced unique works and we sold them and we raised millions of pounds. That has meant that as a result, families have been fed who otherwise wouldn't have been.
You mentioned some of the artists we've worked with there, and Sir Peter Blake has been incredibly supportive. I mean, this is the man who designed the front cover for the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album. He is a genuine icon in the art world, and he created an original work for us at the start of the campaign, and he's done another one for us now, and we made sure that London saw it.
So we obviously, you know, we wanted to have a big end to what we've achieved. We wanted to shout it out as wide as we possibly could. And so Sir Peter very kindly, at the very beginning of the appeal, he produced a really amazing piece of art that we put on the back page of the paper and distributed through our digital channels for people to be able to put up in their windows, you know, saying London stands together. It was a very, very strong, beautiful piece. And for the end, he's very kindly amended it. And it just says, a simple but heartfelt message, which is thank you, London. What we did yesterday, and again, it's amazing. You just ring people up and they say yes, because everybody knows we're a city. The people at Piccadilly Lights gave us the Piccadilly Lights, and we were able just to blanket across there. The National Gallery in Trafalgar Square gave us permission to project it onto the outside of there. And then perhaps most iconic of all, the guys at St. Paul's Cathedral said it would be totally okay for us to also project it onto the dome of St. Paul's. And I was there last night when it turned on, and it was a genuinely emotional moment where there we were standing in the middle of this city at this time and staring at a building that perhaps more than anything else symbolises what this city has been through, how long it has been here and how long it will be here for. And there, suddenly on it, we saw our image and it just said, thank you, London.
There is one more thing that we've done, Ollie, and that's for the first time, there are two front pages of the Evening Standard. Never happened in 200 years.
Yes, we've never done it like this before. A true collector's item for everybody. But when we saw the pictures come in from the projections yesterday, normally when you're delaying a bit of geeky newspaper stuff here for everybody, but obviously we get the pictures in and then we lay out the front page and then we have to make a decision about which picture is going to be. But the strength of that picture from St. Paul's and the impact of the one from Piccadilly Circus was so good and so strong that actually we decided we didn't want to waste either of them. So today across the capital, we have two versions of the front page that is getting distributed everywhere. Half the run has one front page. The other half has the other front page. And they both look absolutely amazing. And I'm happy to admit this to you, David, but I'm personally going to, I'm actually going to take them home and frame them and put them on my wall as a memory of what we have done this year.
Oliver Poole there. So getting 20 million meals out is not an easy task. We partnered with the Felix Project to get that done. Their CEO, Mark Curtin's with me. Mark, when you're taking on something like this, where do you begin?
Yeah, it's a great question, I guess. Before COVID, there were a lot of organisations that had people coming in to sit down, have a meal prepared for them. Children and their families would collect food in a kind of marketplace at the end of the school day to take home for a family meal in the evenings. During the COVID crisis, that changed dramatically, predominantly in that people couldn't access food because of isolating and distancing and all the rules and regulations that were brought in place, and the closure of huge numbers of local community organizations, which meant that people weren't able to access those services. So local authorities across London set up hubs that were like food banks, giant food banks, and relied on an enormous army of fantastic volunteers to distribute the food that we provided out to people's doorsteps or for people to come and collect.
So it is an enormous amount of work to get something like this done. But when you talk to people who you've helped, what kind of a difference does it make to an individual's life?
An incredible amount. We've heard from families who have struggled to put food on the table for the children, and not just food, but good food, nutritional food, food that, you know, gives children the right healthy balance of nutrition to enable them to concentrate either in the classroom or in many cases actually doing their homework at home, as so many children had to do. We've heard stories from pensioners who are lonely and isolated, people that are suffering from mental health conditions. We've seen a huge number of stories and images of hundreds, thousands of people homeless on the streets of London. You know, I'm sitting talking to you at the moment. It's freezing cold. It's pouring with rain. And there are organisations out there now that are working tirelessly in the lead up to Christmas to get food, hot meal to people who have nowhere to go. And our job is to work with, as I say, hundreds and of organisations helping hundreds of thousands of people with these meals, which is, you know, should be just a basic human right to have, be able to have a meal every day.
You can find out more about the Food for London Now campaign in the Evening Standard and independent newspapers and online. And that's the lead up for this year. We'll be back in 2021 with more news, analysis and commentary. Have a great Christmas and a lovely new year.